You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Greetings, travelers. It's time again to delve into that world we've been exploring of vampires. Now, we did part one a while ago on Indian vampires from India, and I've gotten quite a lot of response from that. So we are coming back. Yes, we're going to do another one. And tonight we will also be venturing far from the castles of Transylvania and the Victorian manors of England. And today, if you read the host lists or your name of the video or the name of the podcast, yes, konnichiwa, we are heading to the land of the rising sun. And we are going to explore some very shadowy and very unsettling world of Japanese vampire legends. Now, it's kind of crazy. I know we all think Bram Stoker's Dracula, Anne Rice, but as we've discovered, nearly every culture has some kind of blood-drinking entity. Much more nuanced and deeply intertwined with Buddhist beliefs, Shinto spirits, and of course some ancient myths. So let's just throw away all the capes and fangs. In Japan, the horror sometimes is much more psychological and much more parasitic, but it's very chilling, some of these. So first off, they don't really have, let's just get this out of the way. Japan doesn't have like a direct equivalent to the Western vampire as a reanimated corpse that needs blood to survive. Instead, it's kind of a variety of entities that share certain vampire characteristics. They drain life force, always supernatural in origin, and they just want to cause harm or death to humans. And I want to start with this one. This is one of my favorites because it's just, he's got a great name. And before we even get into this, I'm going to butcher these names. I'm sorry, my Nipponese friends, my Japanese friends, and you know, any of you Japanophiles or anime fans, I'm going to butcher some of these. I apologize. I'm a West Virginia boy. I don't claim to be an expert on these. I'm just sharing the tales, baby. So here we go. This one is named Shuten Doji, which translates to drunken boy. And again, not technically a vampire, but he has a taste for blood that would rival any other undead. So according to the legend, Drunken Boy was this monstrous ogre who lives at Mount Ibuku, and he always dressed in red or scarlet, and he just gorges himself on the blood of others. But not just any blood. He loved the blood of women. And while he's kind of a bit more demon them vampires, anybody who feasts on mass amounts of blood, you know, right, he's up there. Who's this amazing hero who disguises himself and his four companions as these mountain monks in order to deceive Drunken Boy. And the five men sneak their way into his lair where he's having a blood party. It's the blood rave from Blade 2. And the heroes, man, they manage to get the ogres drunk, which is when they throw off their guises and they attack these ogres. And there's this epic battle that ensues. And according to legend, Drunken Boy's head gets chopped off. And even after he's been decapitated, the head keeps fighting. That tells me very much vampire. He didn't stick him through the heart. They didn't do the usual things. But in the end, Yorimutsu and his band win, and they save the female victims, and he keeps Drunken Boy's head back at the Imperial Capital as a trophy. Now, come on, that's pretty awesome. And I just love, you know, a good fight like that in a legend. The plus side is, if you guys want an eerie travel for this one, you don't have to go all the way to Japan. If you go to London, the British Museum actually has some painted hand scrolls from the 17th century that illustrate this tale of Shuten Doji. And they are just stunning. So highly suggest getting there and viewing them. It's amazing. Okay, so up next, we're going to talk about one of the most prominent figures. When you talk about Japanese vampires, this one comes up a lot. And it is, again, I'm going to mispronounce it. It's Nukekubi, Nukekubi. If you thought kind of Headless Horseman style, where the Headless Horseman is spooky, this guy detaches his head from his body, and then it flies around seeking victims. So the Nukekubi, all of them appear as normal humans, and mostly a woman, but sometimes men. And at night, while their body lies asleep, their head detaches, sometimes with a thin strand of artery and tissue still connected. So again, like Drunken Boy, the head keeps going. And then the head goes off to feed. And now what do they feed on? Now, not necessarily blood in the traditional sense, but sometimes they feed off the life force or the chi of their victims. And they might whisper disturbing things to people as they sleep so that they can drain their energy and leave them exhausted and ill in the morning. And then that's really the scary thing about them, is that they are deceptive. And it's that whole monster lurking beneath the normal facade. It's very similar to the Western vampire kind of thing. Now, there are tales of them being discovered by their sleeping bodies, being there without the heads, or the telltale sight of a red ring around their neck where the heads separate. So they always wear the things like that. Again, hey, getting bitten by the vampire, and you hide, you know, the marks on the neck. So now, if the head can't return to the body before dawn, it perishes, and so does the body. So that's, again, they're afraid of sunlight. Sounds very familiar. And they have mostly roots in ancient Chinese folklore, particularly the flying heads, but it evolved very much into a distinct Japanese horror. There's a great Hellboy cartoon that was made that Hellboy's fighting a bunch of Japanese myths and legends, and he has an encounter with them. Definitely worth a watch. I'll put a link to that in the notes. But we've got some other monsters to talk about after the break. So we'll be right back.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome back. So moving on. Now, these are some ones that are similar to the Nukakubi. They are often mentioned in the same stories and stuff, and that's the Rokurokubi, R-O-K-U-R-O-K-U-B-I. There is some complete distinctions. Now, the Rokurokubi, they also have this thing with their heads, but it's their necks stretches almost to an incredible, grotesque length. And they appear normal during the day, blending in with society as always. But at night, their necks elongate and stretch, and allowing their heads to move freely, and so they can peek into windows, scaring people, or sometimes just draining the life force, like always. It's more body horror with these guys, because they're just stretching into this uncanny strangeness. So imagine just somebody you know, and in her head just kind of goes to this weird degree of an angle and just stretches and stretches. So again, it's a violation of the natural order. Now, most of the tales say these guys are mostly pranksters and just kind of enjoying their unusual ability. But some say they use them to spy and whisper frightening things. Or some of them say that they eat small animals like squirrels and things like that. And again, usually women, sometimes cursed due to bad deeds, or sometimes they've been forced to become one via supernatural means. And this one's so popular, it's like it's a motif in Japanese art and has been used in a lot of Japanese theater. And again, some say they feed off the chi. Now, we also know when you're doing Japanese legends and myths, you always have to talk about the kappa. That's the more mischievous water demon. They look like turtle spirits, and they have a darker side in folklore, though, basically bordering on the vampires. They tend to live in rivers and lakes and ponds, and they love cucumbers and sumo wrestling for some reason. But they have this sinister habit of drowning people and animals. But some say, this is where the kind of the vampires come in, that kappa are particularly fond of extracting this organ that is kind of a mythical organ called the Shirikodama, which is the Shirikodama, and he pulls that from the victims, generally from their butts. Yes, they believe to this. The Shirikodama is believed to contain your life force or your soul. So it's not blood drinking in the literal sense, but it is draining your life force again, and it leaves you dead. And generally, you shrivel up because you have lost your Shirikodama. So again, very similar to Echoes of Vampires, where they shrink you down, become the ghouls and stuff like that. So sometimes they are said to suck the blood. And sometimes, like some of our Western traditions, they eat livers. Oh my gosh, what is it with monsters eating livers? And just cautionary tale, right? Stay away from dangerous waters. That's where they come from. And sometimes in pop culture, they're cute. And they're impish and, you know, maybe not so fun, so much fun. And now we've got other vampire tales out there. There's the hungry ghosts or the gaki, and they kind of exhibit vampiric traits. They are generally in the Buddhist cosmology, and they're basically always suffering from this hunger or thirst as a punishment for greed in life. And their hunger is typically for non-food items like human waste. Sometimes they feed on your emotions. So they're kind of like psychic vampires. And some of them do eat flesh or drink the blood of the living in order to satisfy those cravings. And they're supposed to be pitied, but yet terrifying. And then, of course, there are various yokai, which are supernatural monsters, spirits, and demons that might, in some stories, display blood drinking or life draining abilities. And sometimes they're vengeful spirits that I know Erica loves. And sometimes they're just transformed animals like certain types of kitsune, and which are fox spirits, or hebi, which are snakes. And they sometimes take on human form to prey on unsuspecting victims, absorbing their energy, or in rare cases, their vitality through direct means. And again, the key difference from Western vampires in these abilities are often just one aspect of just kind of this weird range of supernatural powers rather than just one characteristic. So that kind of worries me. Kiri has a big fondness for fox spirits and snakes. Wait a minute. Anyway, what are these Japanese legends? What do they reveal to us? It's just that the world has different cultural understandings of predators and life-draining creatures. And unlike the Western vampire, which is forbidden desires, immortality, aristocratic allure, these guys, the Japanese vampires, they symbolize hidden dangers, the consequences of past actions, or something can lurk just beneath the normal facade. They are less about eternal damnation and more about the disruption of the natural order, fear of the unknown, and consequences of spiritual imbalance. And I think the horror is a little more subtle, more psychological. It's a fear of a friend whose head might detach, or some person's neck stretching to unnatural lengths. It's this warning about dangers lurking beneath the calm waters. So just what a rich tapestry of folklore and great moral lessons, just, and maybe their explanations for unexplained phenomena, or the preternatural sneaking in again. So remember that when you're thinking about vampires in the future, they come in all shapes and sizes, and we're just scratching the surface here. And this just scratched the surface of vampire folklore in Japan. I'm sorry I don't have an expert on this, but this was fun to research and fun to read. I've loved some of this stuff. So thank you, Patreon members, for keeping us afloat. And I try to keep getting these to you as often as I can. As long as the health holds up, we'll keep doing what I can with it. I hope you all enjoy these. Let me know where I should go next with these. What's a strange country's vampire you think I should know about? I can't wait to hear what you all think of these. Drop us a line, eerietravels.com. Gets to all of us here, and we love to read the feedback. Send us your listener tales, and send us your listener questions. We love doing those episodes. We know you all love listening to them. All that said, when you're out there traveling, remember, fear is in all its forms a truly universal language. And Japan's contribution to the world of blood-sucking and life-draining entities is just as rich, maybe even a little more nuanced, than our side of the world. And if you see someone with a red line on their neck, ask them, why don't you wear a scarf? And we'll see you on the other side.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.